Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Yes, we're making babies today with obstetrician and clinical director at the Rotunda Hospital in Dublin, Vicky O'Dwyer, is with me in studio. Vicky, good afternoon. How's things?
Good.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you've any maternity, fertility questions for Vicky O'Dwyer. You want to talk, though, Vicky, in particular, I suppose, about bonding with your baby for new parents and maybe in particular for first-time parents. What's your starting point, best bits of advice?
Okay, so I suppose let's talk about hormones first of all. So oxytocin is a hormone that's produced by the pituitary gland in the brain, and it's produced during labour and delivery. So it's what helps you go into labour, and it's what helps the womb contract after delivery. But it's also known as the love hormone. So it's what helps the mum bond with the baby. So one of the things we really try and focus on is the golden hour. So that first hour after birth. And that's whether it's a vaginal delivery or a caesarean section. And within that hour, to try and initiate skin-to-skin contact between the mum and the baby. Now, sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes the dad does it. But we ideally like to have the mum and baby in contact. And that will help with breastfeeding. It helps the baby. So years ago, they looked at preterm babies in the neonatal unit. Mm. And what they found was that when they had skin-to-skin contact, or kangaroo care, as it's also called, that they did better. So their heart rate was better, their temperature was more controlled. And we then expanded that to include all mums.
Yeah, okay. So the golden hour is that's the key point, is it?
That's the key point. So that 1 hour after birth to try and initiate bonding in that hour, if possible.
And in the first instance with the mum, but also with dad as well.
Yeah. So we have some poor dads where we're telling them to whip their top off in the delivery room. You know, sometimes delivery isn't straightforward. So you might have a mum that has a challenging delivery or a postpartum hemorrhage, and just physically or emotionally, they're not ready to do the skin to skin. And then the dad is asked to step in. I think it's great for dads as well.
Yeah, it's one of the things, you know, you often hear on the show talking to people, Vicky, who've gone through this, like sometimes that guilt maybe that mums in particular might feel if they don't feel that instant bond that comes. Like, how do you navigate that for advice for people?
Yeah, I think labour and delivery is like running a marathon, and you do have to give yourself a break, particularly first time mums. They have to recover both physically, emotionally. And then you're handed a newborn baby to look after who doesn't sleep. And not everyone bonds immediately, and that's okay. And I think it's really important for us to talk about the fact that that is okay. And that for some mums, it takes a bit longer, but it will happen. Mm.
So if you don't feel that overwhelming, instantaneous love, don't panic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a number of things that you can do to kind of help with bonding in the first couple of weeks. So when you're feeding the baby, and whether that's breastfeeding, bottle feeding, having the baby close to you, making eye contact. Same when you're changing the nappy, making eye contact. If the baby's babbling, we talk about a thing called serve and return. So the baby's babbling and you're chatting, and it's like you're having a conversation, but obviously they can't talk to you just yet. And that all those things help build a relationship between you and your newborn baby.
So it's not just the instant connection and bond. This is something that throughout the very early days and months, it's a continuous piece of work.
Exactly. So for some women, it's immediate. For others, it takes longer. But we do see some people run into difficulties, and it's not just bonding, and it can be postnatal depression. So it's really important to talk about it, to talk to your public health nurse, your GP, your obstetrician, if you're struggling. In the Rotunda, we have a number of support groups that are very helpful, both during pregnancy and postpartum. So we have the Me to Mum group. We have the Mum as Me group, which is the postnatal one.
Okay.
We have birth empowerment, and we have a postnatal depression group. So as well as our perinatal mental health team, we have groups that mums can chat together, supported by one of those healthcare professionals.
And is that just for parents who've had their baby at the Rotunda? Are they groups, I suppose, that, you know, others can join or make contact with?
So the Rotunda ones are specifically for our patients.
Okay.
And up to a year postpartum, women can engage with the perinatal mental health team. Lots of the other hospitals will have the same.
So okay. This is
certainly Hollow Street, Rotunda.
Yeah. You'll get them in your maternity hospital. Okay. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for obstetrician Vicky O'Dwyer. This listener, Vicky, says they had a C-section 2 weeks ago and was told skin-to-skin contact is important. Is this something that I need to keep doing or will I just do it after the birth?
I think it's something that you can continue to do afterwards, particularly if you're feeding the baby, having them close to your skin, keeping them warm. As I said, it settles their heart rate. They'll know your voice as well, though. So it's not just about the skin contact. It's the eye contact, the listening to you as well. And we see that babies do recognise their parents' voices after birth. There's definitely a response there.
Okay. This listener, just on the eye contact that you mentioned, is it important to make eye contact with the baby? Because sometimes I'll find that she's staring at me. I can't tell if she's focusing on me at all or even knows I'm there. She's about a month old.
So she may not be focusing all the time. I think it's good to make eye contact.
Yeah.
You know, as we're saying, if you're changing the nappy, if they're on the bouncer, they might be looking at the light or the toys that are in front of them. And it's probably not till they're kind of 3-6 months old that they're really smiling and definitely directly looking at you.
Okay. This is an interesting question, Vicky. This listener says, I'm disabled. I struggle to hold my baby. So my husband does anything that involves picking him up. I'm also not breastfeeding and I'm worried this could damage our bond.
Yeah, I think people give themselves a hard time about not breastfeeding. And what I always say to my patients is, it's what works best for you and your baby and you as a family. So ideally for preterm babies, we encourage breastfeeding because it helps their gut health. And for a term baby, yes, it's great for some mums, but it doesn't work for everyone. So talking to the baby, spending time with the baby, it doesn't have to be breastfeeding.
Yeah. OK. So and maybe just this listener is concerned because she feels her husband is doing a lot of the, you know, the work, as she says, in picking up the baby. Is there any way that she can, you know, work on developing that bond with him too?
I think we often have the dads a little bit left out. So I think it is good for him to get the chance to bond with the baby. What we often recommend is putting a pillow underneath the baby and having them close to you and supported by the partner if necessary to help that contact. And maybe that's something they could work on together.
Okay. Now, this listener says, I had postnatal depression and struggled to bond with my baby. They're 7 months now and I'm in a much better place, but I'm actually worried about the damage that's been done. How can I possibly make up for last time?
The first thing to say is I don't think they've done any damage. What we want is a healthy mum and a healthy baby. And it's really important that people with postnatal depression get that help. So I think reframing it and looking at developing that relationship going forward rather than focusing on time lost or what might have been done differently.
So what could she do now, I suppose, in the...
So I think focusing on spending time with the baby. I found when I had my... first baby, I joined a mum and baby yoga group and I found that great because it gets you out of the house, you're interacting with other mums and you're interacting with your own baby as well. So doing something like that can be really helpful.
Can help, yeah. Just to go back to that listener's point about the sign or the postnatal depression and the fact that this listener said she had it. What are the signs? Like, what should people be looking out for in the aftermath of birth?
We see it in about up to 1 in 10 women, and most women will have baby blues for the first couple of days. You might find you're crying and you're not sure why, but it's when it's persistent. So if you're at the 2 week plus mark, your mood is low, you're going to have difficulty sleeping because you've a new baby. But if it's more than you'd expect, if your anxiety is higher than it should be, if you've lost interest in things you'd normally like to do, then it's worth talking to a healthcare professional. So the GP is often the person that picks it up at the 2 week check
or
the 6 week check.
Okay. This texter had a C-section. The pain made it hard to lift my baby when I was in the room alone. I am breastfeeding, will lift her when needed, but I'm afraid I'm not getting enough contact. Is there such a thing as too little contact for bonding?
I don't think so. And I suppose it brings us on to a point about safe sleeping. So we don't recommend the baby be in the bed with you when you're sleeping. There are these great cots that hook onto the side of the bed. We have those in the rotunda, particularly for mums who've had a section. And it's difficult to be turning over and lifting the baby. But in terms of safe sleeping, the baby should be, when you go home, in a cot or a Moses basket in your room, but not in your bed. Feet to the foot of the cot, back to sleep, so on their back. And no toys in the cot, so no teddies or anything like that. To reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS as it's also known.
Yeah, okay. This listener says, my partner does most of the night feeds as I suffer with epilepsy and need my sleep. Will this impact my bond with the baby in the future if I'm missing nights with him?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in terms of the night feeds, if you're breastfeeding, you do need to do at least one feed at night to keep your prolactin level up so that you'll continue to produce milk. If you're bottle feeding, then it's absolutely fine to have someone else do that. And it's great that her husband's getting involved. And it is really important for women with epilepsy to put safety strategies in place postpartum so she can focus on during the day bonding with the baby. And I don't think it will negatively impact their relationship.
Okay. And if people are looking for just maybe, you know, even a little bit more information or insight, we'll make sure to podcast this for anyone just joining us. But if people are looking for more details on baby bonding, where would you maybe suggest they can get that?
There's some great resources on the Rotunda website. There's some videos and some links to our services, but the videos can be accessed by anyone.
Okay. Listen, Vicky O'Dwyer, the Clinical Director and Obstetrician at the Rotunda Hospital in Dublin. Vicky, thanks a million for joining us here. Not at all. On Lunchtime Live. If we didn't get to your questions, queries, we will, of course, Making Babies. We'll be back at the same time next Wednesday. You can email those into us, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.